Papa, we're about 2 hours ahead of Chad right here, so no spoilers, please, on the Colgate Navy game.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is Championship Week Video Notebook night or day number 7. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. My side here is John Stalica. Below me, David Dorman.
Woohoo!
Down in the corner, down in the puppet bunker, there is David Griggs, who has been tweeting at me or texting me with game results before the game even started, because of how slow my stream it was today. It was very unappreciated when I found out that the Navy game was going to overtime. Well, right when they're going for the free throws, that would have iced the game, and then they missed them. But thanks a lot to both of you.
Once I realized that was happening, I kept doing it.
Yes, I could try to unsubscribe to your text thread, but I can't do that either.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you'd let me out of the puppet bunker.
No, not happening.
Why?
Let's start with some news and notes for the day. This was the last day of regular season play. Two conferences finishing up today, the American and the Big Ten. Notable results of the American. SMU got a much-needed win to keep their chances alive over Tulane, but more importantly, Memphis Stalica finished off the sweep of Houston on the season.
This was a game that got out of hand real quickly, and Memphis was doubling up the Cougars at one point and ended up taking at least a 20-point lead into halftime, and they were never seriously challenged in the second half for this one. So definitely a great result for Memphis right here.
Yeah, there they are on the right-hand side there, Dorman. This is going to be a big question now. Is this enough to put Memphis in the field at the moment?
Last week, I was adamant that the American Conference was getting one team. It was Houston, unless someone did something in the tournament, and I'm incorrect. I think Memphis is on the good side of the bubble and not really right on the cut line, kind of safe, barring any major disaster. I think Memphis is getting in.
I kind of agree with you. I think they are on the good side right now. You know, a disaster, first-round loss of the eighth. An American tournament could change things here. Griggs, it was also the final day of play in the Big Ten. There's a lot of notable results. Yes. Michigan goes to Ohio State and wins. Rutgers somehow holds on to barely beat Penn State. Illinois knocks off Iowa. And Nebraska picks up their third consecutive road win to end the regular season, winning at Wisconsin today.
Yeah, that is just unbelievable that Nebraska, who was not just bad, but really bad, has now won three straight road games, including a game at Wisconsin, who up until today, I would have argued was actually the best team in the Big Ten. So is Wisconsin potentially dangerous? Are we going to have more Big Ten tournament magic for them?
Nebraska, they won at Ohio State.
Nebraska. Rutgers was in this situation where they were the last place team and sort of had a moment in March when they got – how far did they get the 1 year? It was the last place team that sort of ran through the tournament. Was it MSG? Anyway, could Nebraska do that this year?
Rutgers made a run to the Big East semifinals that you're talking about. But here is the Big Ten tournament field action. I just wanted to pull this up here because as a result of the craziness today, Wisconsin fell to the 2 seed. Illinois got the 1 seed. My Rutgers Scarlet Knights end up with a double bye in the 4 seed, believe it or not. That's a Big Ten bracket. We'll come back to that Tuesday night when we start previewing these games. But absolute craziness here in the conference. And I guess Michigan and Indiana are the other big questions heading into championship week here. Whether or not I think they are squarely bubble teams as well. Rutgers can't afford a bad loss. If they play Iowa, they're not going to get a bad loss. So.
Right, yeah.
But thanks to today, Michigan's now the vampire that just suddenly can't seem to be killed.
Let's head to the action that took place today, and we'll start with, why don't we start off with the Wynwood Cup.
The Wynwood Cup.
One of the great. Start...
Yes. What in the...
Oh. Take it away, Steve.
The puppets love
that's enough, Steve. Okay. It was It was back in the high life, or in the NCAA tournament, actually. Back in the NCAA tournament, actually, for the first time ever. Congratulations to the Longwood Lancers.
Yes.
Dorman thoroughly dismantled Winthrop today.
Jumped on them early, played great in the first 10 minutes, never looked back. It never got close. It was all Lancers. Punched their ticket. Longwood's in the tournament, first time ever.
Yeah, a lot of enthusiasm and excitement around this team on the Longwood campus to a degree that they've never really had it before. This is just great for them. It really is one of the bigger stories of college basketball, that Longwood. I mean, granted, it's under the radar, but how amazing is this? And it's not like they had a dumpy year and then won the tournament. They were the first place team, and they won the tournament with authority today.
Only one Big South loss in the entire season. It was, you know, even though they were, every game seemed to be close all season, other than today, maybe, it was amazing. Yeah. I guess we got to give a shout out here for the entire university. This evening, their women won the women's NCAA, the women's Big South tournament as well. Both teams going to the NCAA tournament. Just a great day for Longwood. So congrats to the Lancers. They are back in the high life again.
Yes, and with the Wynwood Cup title comes the automatic bid to the NCAA tournament.
Yes, Wynwood Cup champion, automatic bid. Stilicho, we had one other automatic bid given out. It was the Missouri Valley Championship game, and this was a little bit better of a game, I think.
A little bit better of a game, and Drake was actually able to get a little more offense than Northern Iowa did in the second half of this one. Still, Loyola was able to have enough of a suffocating defense that they were able to hold on and eliminate any potential question marks come Selection Sunday.
Yeah, more bubble teams breathing a sigh of relief again, as Loyola was real close to the bubble, having made it here. This was an ugly game in the first half, actually. The second half was a lot better played. The first half was just like, what, in the 20s, I think it was, wasn't it?
Yes, it was ugly. Scoring was low in St. Louis all weekend long. Neither team came out shooting the ball well. Illinois-Chicago got it going near the end of the first half, and I love the Rambler guard play. Williamson is a stud. He's been here before. He's been to the tournament before. He's actually been to the Final Four before. I love senior guards in March, and Williamson is a rock star.
I think the only question left for Loyola is where do they end up on the seed line? Griggs, I could see this team above the first four, maybe 11 seed-ish at this point.
That's where I'm thinking. I do think they needed to win this tournament. It would have been close. It's possible the committee would have taken them anyway. But, yeah, I'm thinking the 11 line. And I want to give a shout-out to Drake. They were a team that we thought would be inside the bubble when the season started. They kind of let us down, but they really got it going in conference play. Then in the tournament, they had to deal with the injuries, but they battled through a tough semifinal and tough final game. And at the under four timeout, they were in a position to win.
They were.
So,
but congrats to the Ramblers and Sister Jean back in the tournament again. Not back in the high life again. That's only in Longwood. It was semifinal day in several conferences. Let's start in the Patriot League, though, which saw Colgate thoroughly dismantle Lehigh, and then, Griggs, the game that you totally spoiled for me between Navy and BU.
Yeah, an overtime game that went to – I just wanted to make sure you knew it was going to go in the overtime, that, you know, you knew how that last minute or so was going to play out. But we got the matchup that we kind of wanted, the chalk hold, and – you know, Navy getting it done at home against Boston U. Now they go to Colgate. How cool would it be to see Navy in the tournament? Nothing against Colgate, but I don't know. Navy hasn't. When was the last time they were there? They said that it was 2001.
2001 was the last time they made it to the conference championship.
Okay,
game.
So even
1998
longer.
Was the last year they were in the NCAA tournament against North Carolina.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was a heck of a game, though. BU, Javonte McCoy for BU just had an absolutely amazing game. He was hitting three after three after three to both send it to overtime and even after the overtime. But he wasn't enough, though. This was a great game, though. That game will be coming up Wednesday, so we'll be talking about that game Tuesday night when we do our preview show.
But Colgate hosting it, it will sell out. It's, and you will once again see why campus sites are good for under the radar tournaments.
Dorman, it was semifinal day in the SoCon today, which featured a blowout by Chattanooga over Wofford, and then a very good finish actually between Furman and Samford.
A great finish. Furman needed every last second of this game. Samford looked great in the first half. They were up the entire first half, hitting shot after shot, and really played, came out of the gates really well. Furman stabilized in the second half, started to chip away at the lead, and down the stretch, Furman was too much. And Samford, though, was really game. Really give a lot of credit to the Samford team and coaching staff, as they had a really good day, a good game plan. They were right in the game, fell a little short, but fantastic energy and atmosphere at the SoCon today.
Yeah, Samford wasn't just up all throughout the first half. They were up 15 in the first half,
yeah,
and that lead just whittled away.
Yeah, and it looked like they were going to roll, run away with it.
And how about the end of the game where, you know, Samford is down three, Furman fouls them, so they can't get the three-pointer off. They make the first free throw, miss the second one on purpose, get the ball back, but it just wasn't – they couldn't get the last shot there.
Right, and crazy was, ending, yeah.
You know, it's the old question of do you foul or do you not foul. Actually, it turned out if they actually fouled, a second after the foul, which was on the floor, was made – He threw up the three-pointer anyway, and it went. So it was really good that they fouled.
Yeah.
Griggs, what about this championship game tomorrow night, Furman and Chattanooga?
I got to like the Mocs. I know that they sort of, you know, barfed a little bit down the end of the regular season, but not today. And I know that they had to sweat the Citadel, but sometimes the Citadel can be annoying to play against. I it wouldn't shock me if Furman won, but it just seems like it's Chattanooga's year.
Yeah, and all season, it seems like Chattanooga has really come, stepped up for the big games. They slipped
yeah,
up
they
in,
have.
The
yeah.
weird ones, but
yeah, it's the little ones that they've sort of like piddled away. Like I think that they're going to show up tomorrow and get it done.
I agree with you. Slika, it was also semifinal day in the Sun Belt, which saw it happened again in the first game. How about those raging Cajuns?
You know, they got out to an early lead. They got out to a big early lead and ended up leading by as much as 16 points again before Troy. They whittled it down a little bit in the second half, but they were never seriously challenged.
Yeah. App State was also down big, Dorman to Georgia State, but made a huge comeback and got right to get into this game late. They just didn't have quite enough to get over the top, I thought.
Yeah, they fell short. They had a couple of threes in the last couple minutes that if they went, they probably would have won this game, but got down a little too much early and couldn't make the full comeback. But also, Chad, great call. Last night you even said, look out for Louisiana Lafayette. I was kind of liking Troy, and you had that one nailed.
I think you actually said Troy at App State for the championship game, and I said I'm going the exact other way. So yeah. I'll give myself a little pat on the back for this one.
Yes, sir.
I picked Georgia State to win this event at the beginning, but Dorman, do you think the Raging Cajuns could do it one more time?
I do. I do. It's just one of those teams that goes on a run this time of year. I just don't find Georgia State all that impressive, and Louisiana just has it going right now, and I think it continues one more time tomorrow night.
I don't know. This conference has been unpredictable all year, and I think I'm going to go with App State tomorrow.
I'm still going with Bradley, the Missouri Valley. So
yeah,
why not? You could take App State.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to happen, it would be in this league. You're going to get us killed on Twitter. It's Louisiana. Only Louisiana Monroe can call them Louisiana Lafayette. Only New England.
Yeah, we do have
call them Louisiana Lafayette.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
I thought we got rid of the Louisiana part and we were just going Lafayette. No.
Yeah,
there you go.
If it makes you feel better, you can call them Southwest Louisiana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you really want to annoy Chattanooga, call them Tennessee Chattanooga with Tennessee in all caps. They love that.
Yeah. I'm going to stick with the Raging Cajuns.
Yeah. All
right. If we just call them Lafayette, then and they make the NCAA tournament, then Rutgers doesn't have a bad loss to Lafayette this year. So hey,
that and Fran O'Hanlon still gets to coach one more game.
Okay, we're going off the rails already here. Salika, it was quarterfinal round day in the America East here, and I guess we had one good game, maybe. I don't know. Like the big, actually, we did have one good game in the Binghamton, New Hampshire game. That was the one upset.
I would say UMBC and UMass Lowell was actually competitive for a little while.
But that game went overtime. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. That was a very, we had two good games.
Lowell did lead early in this one for the first part of the first half, but UMBC did lead most of the way before this game got extended, and ultimately UMBC gets at least one more home game out of this.
Yeah, the Hartford game, Griggs, there was an amazing halftime score here. Hartford was up 26-13 in an absolutely awful first half.
Everything you love about basketball failed to happen and materialize in the first half of this game. Hartford with the win. At least in the Twitterverse, the neighborhood really getting stirred up. It is a long, long shot even to win at UMBC on Wednesday. If Hartford wins this tournament, it's just a unique situation. You get the impression that the administration is rooting against them just because they don't want any more pushback from deciding to reclassify to D3.
The last game on the list there, Binghamton, New Hampshire, was actually had a great finish there. Dorman, what happened here was that New Hampshire actually hit game tying three, but it was at one point with about 30 seconds left, it was waved off on an offensive foul. They then got another chance but missed a three at the very end. But so Binghamton does pull off the big upset here, though.
Yes, yes, they did. They came through in the end, but come Wednesday night, I think they are finished. Because Vermont is not messing around. They came out right away on NJT up 25-30 and didn't look back. I look for the same thing come Wednesday night in Burlington.
Yeah, there is the reseeding here. So Vermont gets Binghamton should roll right at the championship game.
Yep.
We'll talk about UMBC Hartford at least a little bit on Tuesday night when we do their previews. But Griggs, it was quarterfinal round day in the Colonial. And this is the conference that featured only one questionably good game and the rest were garbage.
John Tytel was there to bring us all the garbage. Interviewing cheerleaders all day. You can read all about it on Oops HD. The one game I'll comment on was probably the one that surprised me the most. And you know what it is, because you know how much I've been praising Hofstra and saying that I thought they had the highest ceiling. Well, they let me down today. College of Charleston looking really impressive there. But I was kind of – Drexel came in on kind of a hot streak. I was kind of surprised they got handled the way that they did. But I don't know. Are we going to have a better day tomorrow in the semifinals?
Yeah, well, I mean, Towson got a bit of a challenge actually from Northeastern, held them off. Delaware kept Drexel at bay all day. Elon was actually up pretty big early in the game against Wilmington. And then second half – I think they were actually up at halftime. In the second half, Wilmington just rolled them. Salika, what do you think about these two semifinals, Towson, Delaware, Wilmington, Charleston?
I think Pat Kelsey's going to have a little bit better luck than his former school Winthrop did. They'll probably advance at least one more round right here. Towson, I still think they're going to go ahead and make it to the championship game here.
You with him, Dorman?
I am. I like Towson. I've liked the team all year. They've seemed focused. They've seemed ready for every big challenge. And yes, I like a Monday and Tuesday night to claim a bid.
You like to play Charleston in the championship? Or are you going to go – taking Wilmington in the second game?
I'm going to take Wilmington. They seem to just tough it out. Every game gets close, and they just pull through. I'm going to stick with Wilmington.
Okay. Good pick. We will see what happens. Those are the semifinals in the Colonial. One other conference that was in action today, it was Summit League. We had the third and the fourth of the quarterfinals. We had the South Dakota win over Kansas City and the Oral Roberts win over Western Illinois. Oral Roberts, Western Illinois kept trying to make runs to get back in the game, but Oral Roberts kept responding. South Dakota-Kansas City game, though, Griggs, was a bit of a surprise here that South Dakota won it.
It really was. And South Dakota looked good. I don't want to say Kansas City didn't. I don't want to just say that they blew it, because the Utes really did have a good game. And it sets up, the rivalry showdown, South Dakota State dominating the first two regular series games. But, the two squaring off in a semifinal in Sioux Falls. I guess the question is, will anybody be at the second game tomorrow?
I think North. I think those two schools actually do travel pretty well, North Dakota State and Oral
Yeah.
Roberts. So,
What a ticket. Man, I wish I was going to that. Wow.
we could be in for a pair of really good games here, even though South Dakota State has not lost a Summit League game all season.
Yeah.
We have two other conferences that are in action tomorrow night that did not play tonight. Let's start at Dorman. Let's start in the West Coast Conference, where late after we recorded our show last. Late yesterday evening, Santa Clara did pound Portland. So we've got the semifinals: Gonzaga, San Francisco; St. Mary's, Santa Clara. What do you think?
I look for both these underdogs, San Francisco, the Dons, and the Broncos, the Santa Clara, to give St. Mary's and Gonzaga all they can handle. I don't think either of them are gonna actually pull it out. If I had to take one, I would take Santa Clara, but I look for San Francisco to be in this game. I think they've learned their lessons from the first two. They're going to try and slow it down. They know they can't run with them. Play defense, get that back line set. St. Mary's gave them the blueprint a couple of weeks ago. Let's see if they can execute and slow the game down enough to see if they can have Gonzaga within the last few minutes.
I think Sleek, are you with him? Do you think we could see the huge upset here and the Zags lose their second straight game?
I don't think Gonzaga is going to lose yet right here. I mean, they'll have to be on their toes against the Dons. I still think St. Mary's is the one that can ultimately clip Gonzaga here.
St. Mary's might have some trouble tomorrow.
I agree. I agree with you, Briggs.
Yeah.
I think everyone's looking so forward to this Gonzaga St. Mary's final. I think it's going to get spoiled by Santa Clara. I think it's going to be the
Yeah.
Zags and the Broncos.
Really impressive run by Gonzaga through this tournament to make it to the semifinals,
They have looked
by
good.
the way. Yeah, they've just looked amazing.
Well, we're four rounds in. They've won a few games by now, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm thinking of revoking the automatic bid from this conference this year because of this ladder. If Gonzaga wins this tournament, no auto bid. They're going to need it at large.
We also are back in action tomorrow night in the Horizon League. Been a few days since we last looked at this conference. It is semifinal day, though, with these games are in Indianapolis. We've got the top four seeds: Cleveland State, Wright State, Fort Wayne, and Northern Kentucky. Stalika, what do you think about these games?
Well, Cleveland State, at least they were able to pull out a little bit from their recent tailspin towards the middle of February right here. It might be a little bit premature to say they've completely come out of it, but I think Wright State, Northern Kentucky, until someone knocks them off, I'm going to go with these two right here.
You're going with the two upsets.
Really? Wow. Wow. You know why I'm surprised at that? So am I.
It's kind of funny. I'm not going with two. I am going with one. I think it's going to be Wright State and Fort Wayne in the championship game. This Fort Wayne team's been playing really good basketball
Yeah.
lately. I'm picking them to win this and join Longwood as a first-time NCAA tournament team. Dorman, any
Yeah.
thoughts on these games?
I'm really looking forward to both. These four are to me the four best in the conference. Northern Kentucky is going to have to play really well because, like you just said, Fort Wayne has a very solid basketball team. But I think we're in for two great games from the Horizon tomorrow night in the semis.
All right, that's it for the game. So let's go over to our NCAA tournament survival board. Great. Can you tell everybody what the survival board is,
Well, yes,
besides
it's a
being a
tool
tab
for.
up there?
Yes. Well, David Warlock egregiously, he tweeted some things out today about selection committee procedure, and he just absentmindedly forgot to mention the survival board. This is what the committee uses to evaluate teams or to know what teams they need to be evaluating. They come to this site. We have verified that the room has internet in there, so they can access this site, and it tells them who the locks are, who's under consideration, who needs the auto bid to get in, and then who's been eliminated from it. And where do we get Can I answer, let you finish the explanation, Chad, of where we get the information of who needs to be eliminated?
Oh, we get them from Twitter because our good friend Brian Black at 358 jerseys for Hope, number four Hope, tweets out every jersey of a team that has been eliminated. And once he tweets it out, they go in red. So teams like Bradley, Evansville, Illinois State, all in red, crossed off, they've been tweeted out.
Yeah.
This was going into the day today, so Loyola Chicago was not locked in yet. But Boise State and Colorado State, they're teams that we consider to be locks, no matter what they're going to be in.
Right,
San Diego State and Wyoming are teams that the committee should be debating. Could be in, could not be in.
Yeah.
Fresno State and Nevada are only in if they win the auto bid.
Yeah.
Although this goes against a normal protocol here, how come we have two teams in all caps here in the Ohio Valley?
Well, all caps means that you have won the conference tournament and clinched the automatic bid.
And Carver Bible and Murray State won the automatic bid.
It's a shared automatic bid. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Wow.
I think we got a bug in
this Carver again. Again, they've hacked our information. Oh, there's Brian.
Let's see. There he is. There he is.
Yeah, there he is.
In the Sanford jersey.
In the Sanford jersey. Yeah.
So. This is where we were as of this morning after that last West Coast game. We had 254 teams left. As a result of today's games, let's find out what happened.
.236.
Big jump.
Yeah.
We're getting near that 200 mark. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we've got to get this out to 68. And we're already, what is this, day seven of the championship week? Championship week's already over.
Yeah, it is.
7 days in. It's long. No. Where do we go?
It's a 14-day week.
Okay, yes, I always forget that. Let's jump back over here and look at, check in with our rivalry creator. We got one filled in here already. Okay.
Yeah.
This is our rivalry creator. It's something that we've done. So people that have rivalries between two teams that they want to have it get a name to the rivalry, the computer's figuring out for us.
Yeah. As you it see names here, the rivalry, names the trophy. So
This is one here that we love is Belmont and Lipscomb's the Battle of the Boulevard down in Nashville.
Yeah.
Real rivalry. Some details about it even. They are 8 miles apart. I've never been in the NCAA tournament.
Right. 8 miles. It's a long boulevard. They're 3 miles apart on the boulevard, but the campuses are 8 miles apart, I guess.
They've never been in the NCAA tournament either.
But, right, yeah.
Or have they ever met in the NAIA tournament, even when they were both in that organization?
It only says number of times men in the NCAA tournament sleep.
I don't know.
You're asking too much of the computer here. There's limits to these things. Tomorrow night, we have South Dakota and South Dakota State coming.
Yes.
And I looked, and there's no name for this rivalry yet, Griggs.
How is there not a name for the rivalry? Because there's one for North Dakota State and South Dakota State. Like, isn't that the Four Corners rivalries? I don't know. But South Dakota and South Dakota State does not. So we're going to name, like, the computer, just so we know what this is, it's going to name the rivalry or the trophy that's played for.
It is. Let's find this out here.
Yes, the Battle of North Dakota. Wow. Okay, so like that is
okay.
That is the name of the.
I don't
what a great
even
name for
that
rivalry.
I do. Twitter
is going to break.
I don't even understand that one. You know, let's get something better than that. I don't even understand that one. You know, I was actually trying to think of something as a computer today, and I was thinking actually about Kentucky, the Kentucky Wildcats here.
Oh well, okay, yeah.
And they're not that far from West Virginia, right? And
I was thinking,
what if they played Marshall?
Yeah. Like,
heard of Marshall. Computer, what would happen in that case?
Well, what's the name of this one? Yes.
All right. That makes a little sense.
Yeah.
How far are these teams apart, by the way? We should check in on that.
It's not that far, as you observed. It's 8 miles.
8 miles.
Yeah, and they've never met in the NCAA tournament. Wow, that's incredible.
Let's go to final thoughts, Dorman.
Chad mentioned this a few minutes back. I didn't jump on board because I was saving this for the end, but these coaches' philosophy at the end of the game has got to change. When you are up three, why in the world are you giving these kids who can hit threes, at ease. This is not a long shot. These are talented shooters. These kids can flat out shoot. I'm going to pick on one coach, but it happens all year and all weekend long. Navy coach Ed DeChellis against Boston U decided today, up three, 10 seconds, 8 seconds, foul. It is so much harder to hit one free throw, then try and miss the second free throw, then get the rebound, then hit a shot. It doesn't happen. It's so much more than just pulling up and hitting the three-pointer. Coaches, when you're up three and time is dwindling down, foul. Jay Wright of Villanova, they were in the same situation against Providence a week ago. He had to do it three or four times in the last 30 seconds. It worked out perfectly for him. It's such a long shot to get a rebound, to tap it in, all this. These kids hit threes all the time. Coaches, foul when you're up three. It makes it so much harder for your opposition.
You know what, Dorman? If you want to go to Ken Pop's website, if you're a subscriber there, I believe it's still up there. He's got his archives and article. He wrote an article doing the math and the numbers about fouling, not went up three, but went up two. Mm-hmm. Fouling up two. And his articles demonstrated that you have a better chance to win if you foul up two. Well, fouling up three clearly makes it because you have a better chance to win. I don't agree with fouling up two, but fouling up three, wow. Sleeka.
Well, a couple things here. Number one, Iowa is going to have to work on their free throws here because tonight's game, they lost, 10 or 11 points at the foul line and made a huge difference in blowing a chance to spoil the Illini party. And second of all, we're going to go again to the women's side because number one, South Carolina lost on a last second shot to Kentucky in the SEC title game. So I think that's the first. I think that is the first title for the Wildcat women, although I would have to double check the history books on that one.
All right, Craig, you want to finish us off?
Yeah, with the under the radar schools, with Murray State being, I don't think we're going to see too many bid stealers unless someone gets hot in one of the major conference tournaments and wins it. So, I think we're looking at a really strong field this year. Loyola Chicago, they may have been in position to get one. They won the conference tournament. Murray definitely was. They won their tournament. North Texas, I think, was until they lost to UTEP in the final game. Now they're squarely on the bubble. Maybe they're in, maybe they're not. I hope that they do get in, but they may not. And even if they do, I can't think of anyone else that's really in position to be a quote-unquote bid thief.
Well, the Atlantic 10 tournament's the one that I'm
saying. Oh, yeah, that's one that could be if it's someone other than Davidson or VCU who's climbing. Is VCU climbing the seed list?
Well, VCU lost in their regular season finale at St. Louis, so I think VCU is clearly right on the bubble there too at the moment.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it when we get there. But the Bonnies and Dayton are both very dangerous in the tournament. But I guess on that note, on behalf of David Dorman, John Sleeka, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow. We're going to be recording two podcasts. We've got a bracket rundown show. We're going to be revealing where the bracket is as of pretty much right now, because we start getting submissions tomorrow morning. And then we're going to do a video notebook after all the games are over. Have a great evening, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night.